Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Lori Fatchett McGee, and it is my privilege to serve as part of our worship this morning. Today's worship is led by members of the Worship Arts team, which is myself, Kathy Kearns, and Eric Van Bars. We are delighted to welcome you to this religious community. We are also joined today by Religious Education Coordinator Colleen Taley, our assistant musician Vanessa Vesley, and some other musical guests. I would like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time. We are always glad to have guests at our services. Jen Ferme is going to give us an announcement about our service auction last night.
Good morning, everyone. I want to give a special thank you to everyone who is attending yesterday's big event, our annual service auction. All the volunteers that put in time and much labor to make it a successful event and to get us in and out of the UCC last night. I want to give you an update on our numbers. We raised a total of $41,535. One of the things that made that number so large is that we had a fund-a-need item to fund the appliances for the new fellowship hall. The capital campaign is building a building, but we needed some additional funds in order to put the necessary kitchen equipment in there. And so one of the items on last night's live auction was the fund a need for the appliances, and that portion of that number was $18,650. So very exciting. There are lots of items still available. There are a lot of seats still available. So if you weren't able to come or you didn't fill your entire social calendar, please see us downstairs and buy some more. Thank you very much.
We light our chalice this morning with these words by Laura Wallace. As the frozen earth holds the determined seed, this sacred space holds our weariness, our worry, our laughter, and our celebration. Let us bring seed and soul into the light of thought, the warmth of community, and the hope of love. Let us see together, hear together, love together. Let us worship. Come, let us worship together.
We are beginning the season of Advent, a period of waiting in hope. Hope for a better, kinder world. Hope for an answer to today's problems. Hope for a sign that the world will be a better place for our children. I often feel hope is my friend, a place I can turn to when something bad happens. Maybe someone I know is very sick or grieving a loss, or I feel disappointed by another person. I tend to be optimistic and assume things will work out, so I often immediately think, I hope things get better. Because this is my tendency, I resonate to the words of Vaclav Havel. Hope is a state of mind, not of the world. Either we have hope or we don't. It is a dimension of the soul. But then, preparing for this service, I read the words of the Buddhist spiritual leader, Thich Nhat Hanh. He is one of my favorite authors, and I often resonate to his wisdom, but reading his words on hope gave me pause. He says, Western civilization places so much emphasis on the idea of hope that we sacrifice the present moment. Hope is for the future. Hope can create an obstacle for you, and if you dwell in the energy of hope, you will not bring yourself entirely in the moment. So herein is our dilemma. How can we keep a hopeful mind in an ever-changing world and use that positive energy in the moment? Trying to marshal hope at difficult times is not always easy. So how can we kindle the flame of hope in us? And how can others in our community help us keep faith and hope when we need it? Come, let us explore these ideas together.
Two frogs. Once two frogs were hopping through the forest when they accidentally hopped into a big churn of cream. Ew. The sides of the churn were so slick and slippery that there was no place to hold on to, so the frogs had to swim in circles to stay afloat. After a long time, one frog said, "Oh, there is no hope. We're doomed. We will drown in this churn." And the older frog said, "Don't lose hope, little frog. Life is a cycle. There are bad times and there are good times, and one must endure the winter to see the spring." The young frog was not so sure, and he said, "You're wrong. We're gonna die." And the older frog said, "We must keep hope alive. For if hope dies, we too will die. But if we keep hope alive, we will live to see another sunrise." But the younger frog was already starting to lose hope again, and he began to sink down into the creamy cream. "Keep hope alive," cried the older one. "Keep hope alive." The younger one started repeating slowly at first, "Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive." And the more they repeated the words, the stronger they felt. And the more strength they had, the better they could swim in circles. And as they swam and swam around and around in circles, an amazing thing happened. They realized they weren't sinking anymore. The cream had turned to butter. The two frogs were able to hop off the butter and out of the churn. And they landed on the ground just in time to see the beautiful sunrise. The older frog said to the younger one, "Remember, my son, life is a cycle. Despair may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And the two frogs hopped away out into the woods. Thank you, Ike. Now let's sing our children to their classrooms. We'll stay seated for the first verse and walk on the second.
I invite you now to find a spiritual place for yourself in this room. As is your practice, let your hands be free and your hearts open as we take a moment of meditative silence. While you're doing that, think about this. Just like those frogs, I was swimming so fast, I went into another place. Today we're holding the hope for one another with a ritual of caring, or if you like, prayer practice for one another, in terms for those of us who struggle and those of us who struggle with finding hope. This is a two-part process. Part one will take a few moments and part two may take a little longer, but both are intended to unfold in a meditative way. What you'll need right now is a card that you found that would be in your order of service, a green card. And we have writing instruments in the back of most of the pews. And we ask you not to write your name on this card, that this is anonymous, but please write in a way that someone else could read, to fill in these two blanks. In my life right now, I'm struggling with, and then in that struggle, one thing I hope for is. I'll give you a few moments to process that and complete those cards. This is strictly voluntary. Know that the cards will be collected momentarily. Around the world and for thousands of years, members of our human family have found a way to say, you are not alone. Others have journeyed that place where you are and where you find yourself right now. And we are on that journey with you. There are many ways for us to give one another strength, courage, and love. The slip of paper that you're filling out right now is how we'll do that today. And this is an exercise of care, of trust, and of vulnerability. To name on a paper the struggle in your life and the hope that inside your life, the hope that lives inside your life as you struggle. So take those moments to complete those cards. And for those of you who were prematurely did those, we'll add those to the basket as well. We have some already done here. Our meditative prayer today is a poem I share with you by Alice Anichka Nesman. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow, it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief, to be choked by our outrage, to be paralyzed by the enormity of suffering, to feel our hearts squeezed tight with hopelessness. Instead, this morning, let us simply breathe together as we hold our hearts open, breathing in as our hearts fill with compassion, breathing out as we pray for healing in a world and in our lives, breathing in, opening ourselves to the transforming power of love, breathing out as we pray for peace in our world and in our lives. Breathing in as we hold hope in our hearts. Breathing out as we pray for justice in our world and in our lives. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Let it be so. And please know that during the musical meditation right now, the ushers will be collecting your green cards. Thank you.
May I suggest to you, may I suggest this is the best part of your life. May I suggest this time is blessed for you. This time is blessed and shining almost blinding bright. Just turn your head and you begin to see the thousand reasons that were just beyond your sight, the reasons why I suggest to you, why I suggest this is the best part of your life. There is a world that's been addressed to you, addressed to you, intended only for your eyes. A secret world, like a treasure chest to you, of private scenes and brilliant dreams that mesmerize. A tender lover's smile, a tiny baby's hand, a million
stars that fill the turning sky at night. Oh, I suggest to you. Oh, I suggest this is the best part of your life. There is a hope that's been expressed in you. The hope of seven generations, maybe more. This is the faith that they invest in you. It's that you'll do one better than was done before. Inside you know, inside you understand, inside you know yours to finally set right. And I suggest this is the best part of your life. This is a song, comes from the west to you, comes from the west, comes from the slowly setting sun. This is a song with a request of you to see how very short the endless days will run. And when they're gone, and when the dark descends, oh, we'd give anything for one more hour of light. And I suggest this is the best part.
Reverend Dennison writes, I feel like I'm on a constant hunt for hope these days. I have to be. Every time I look at my phone or open my laptop, I'm overwhelmed by stories of violence, disrespect for life, greed, and selfishness. When I listen to my friends and loved ones or to conversations in coffee shops, it feels like everyone is dispirited and disheartened, and that is dangerous. The danger of hopelessness is a double danger. First, hopelessness makes us feel it's useless to take action. It fools us into believing there's nothing we can do or that our efforts won't make a difference. Once we abandon hope, there's no stopping the momentum of the unscrupulous who are willing to cooperate with evil in order to get ahead. The other danger of hopelessness is that we can lose each other. In times of hopelessness, it's easy to get scared of everything and everybody. It's easy to start believing that your neighbor is the problem and that hoarding is a better strategy than generosity. The problem is that when community starts to break down, we lose the most important source of hope we have, each other. The message of hope that still blazes bright for me in these hard times is that I am not alone. I don't have to face the world alone, and I don't have to fix the world alone. When I need hope, I find it on the faces of my people. I find it in their hearts when we find each other again and stop hiding out, thinking we are the only one. I find it when we come together in community to sing, to bless one another, to mourn, to strategize. All we need is hope, and for that, we have each other. During the homily, we're going to pass the baskets one more time, and we'll ask you to take one of the green cards that isn't yours, so they can be shared later in the service.
In the fall of 1993, I was attending Ohio University in Athens. For those who may not know, Athens is located in southern Ohio, almost at the Ohio-West Virginia border, about 4 hours away from here. I had moved there in August with my daughters, who were 3 and 4 years old, to be with my then-boyfriend, David, who was beginning his senior year at OU. Just before Thanksgiving, the university recessed for a 6-week winter break between fall and winter quarters. During that time, we planned to come back to the Akron area for the holiday season. So we packed up the car and headed home. The car itself bears some describing, as it is central to this story. My grandfather had bought it for me earlier in the year at an auction. It was a huge, hunter green, late 70s model Chrysler. It was a boat of a car. He paid $500 for it. But it ran, and it was mine, so who was I to complain? So there we were, David, my daughters, and me, packed into my green monstrosity, heading through Marietta on our way north, when the car just suddenly died. We coasted to a stop in front of this gorgeous century home perched on a hill close to the center of town. The car wasn't out of gas, and nothing we tried got it running again. We were stuck. We had no money for a tow, and besides, it was late on a Sunday afternoon, so no garage was open to tow it to anyway. We were an hour away from our apartment and 3 hours away from Akron, but we may as well have been on the moon because we couldn't get to either place. After a time, the door of the house on the hill opened, and an older man came down the steps to see if we needed help. We explained our situation and asked to use his phone. This was the days before cell phones. As David followed him into the house, he turned around and insisted that we all come in. It was getting colder outside, and the girls were starting to feel it. His wife then appeared in the doorway and motioned us in the house. I was hesitant, but I unbuckled them and ushered them up the stone stairs into the home. I instantly regretted it. As I had feared, the beautiful old house was filled with beautiful old things. Having my daughters even in the entranceway felt like letting two baby bulls run into a china shop. The couple, whose names I don't remember anymore, didn't seem worried at all. They welcomed us into the living room, and the wife went off to make the girls a snack. There were so many antiques in that room, it felt like a museum. And the one thing it seemed that the couple collected more than anything else was carnival glass. If you're not familiar with what carnival glass is, it's that beautiful, old, iridescent, carved glass. Very expensive. It was everywhere, on every surface, just waiting to be knocked over by two rambunctious little girls who had been strapped into car seats for the last hour and a half. I was a nervous wreck. The couple apparently had grandchildren, however, because there was a small basket of toys, none of which required batteries, sitting in the corner. These were brought out for the girls to play with while we waited for David to finish calling my grandparents. It was decided that my grandfather and my uncle were going to drive down to tow us home. We would have to wait a full 3 hours for them to arrive. The couple offered to let us stay, but we didn't want to wear them out. We decided to go to a nearby cafe to wait. The couple wouldn't let us walk the short distance, and they insisted we call them for a ride back to their house when we were ready. Eventually, our rescuers arrived, and we were on our way again. Before we left, however, the wife made sure the girls had something to drink and snacks for the road. They were the kindest, sweetest people, and I was so glad our car decided to die in front of their house. They didn't hesitate to help us, even though they could have eaten behind their closed door. They opened their beautiful home to strangers, treating us like long-lost family. They played with my daughters and were never once concerned for their antiques. They made us feel welcome and safe. When things are scary and going wrong, Mr. Rogers tells us to look for the helpers. Find the people who are helping others, and it will restore your faith in humanity. While this quote was probably meant for bigger, scarier things than a car breaking down, it certainly fits. I've never forgotten the kindness shown to me and my family on that cold November day. And while that kind and generous couple has most likely long since passed away, I still think of them when I help someone in need. I pay it forward in their honor and am glad to do so. This holiday season, when so much seems to be going wrong in the world around us, I encourage you to look for the helpers. To remember a time when someone reached out, even in the smallest of ways, to make your life better. And to pay it forward, for in being a helper, we offer hope and kindness to those who need it most. May it be so, and amen.
By now, everyone is holding another piece of green paper, yes, with a hope and a struggle on it. So in this congregation and community, we make one another brave. We give each other peace, and we hold the hope for one another. As theologian Paul Waddell says, hope has to be seen to be believed. It has to be made visible. It has to be something we can feel and touch. We are called to be the persons who embody hope for one another. We have to be each other's partner in hope. This is our way of being partners in hope. You're holding someone's struggle right now and their hope. So in a moment, we'll take some time to read the hope only aloud. You don't know who wrote this. Their struggle and their hope belong to someone who you may admire in our community. They could be the person who annoys you the most. And they may be the person who's sitting right next to you. These words have been written by someone. And take those words in and offer up the loving kindness to the unknown person who's made themselves vulnerable in your presence and has given you their trust. We will begin reading the hope portion only. And after each one of us reads, there will be a responsive reading for everyone. After each hope, we will all say collectively together, "We hold the hope for you." Understood? Since I have someone's hope in my pocket, I hope to find my joy each day, to love without judgment myself and others. We hold the hope for you.
In that struggle, one thing I hope for is maintaining the hope that we will have a family.
We hold the hope for you.
That my family will find peace and love and hope within their challenges.
We hold the hope for you. You may be inclined to not share your hope. That's fine as well. This is voluntary.
In that struggle, one thing I hope for is forgiveness and reconciliation.
We hold the hope for you.
Understanding for my limits and recognition of any success.
We hold the hope for you.
That I will still be able to be an active part of this community and able to spend time with friends and family.
We hold the hope for you.
The peace of forgiveness for that person's actions.
We hold the hope for you.
My abuser's mental health to improve.
We
We hold the hope for you.
That love will triumph eventually.
We hold the hope for you.
That reasoned outcomes devoid of moneyed interests and corporate BS.
Communications. A better sense of love enveloping and connecting all beings.
We hold that hope for you.
Communication.
Partnership and love.
We hold that hope for you.
Face.
We hold that hope for you.
Relief.
We hold that hope for you.
She will choose help.
We hold that hope for you.
Peace of mind.
We hold that hope for you.
To become more independent again after back surgery.
We hold that hope for you. We hold that hope for you.
Cure or remission for both of us.
We hold that hope for you.
Greater understanding and a healthy, positive collaboration.
We hold that hope for you.
Help from the church and mass resistance.
We hold that hope for you.
Opening their heart to me and mine to them.
We hold that hope for you.
More people are beginning to take care and take action.
We hold that hope for you.
I can be strong enough not to affect my family.
We hold that hope for you.
To lose fear.
We hold that hope for you.
Finding the strength and camaraderie to push forward.
We hold that hope for you.
That a certain person will find peace, happiness, and love.
We hold that hope for you.
To release my fear.
We hold that hope for you.
To find a sitter or a person to trade for sitting so I can go out with friends to have time for me.
We hold that hope for you.
Strength and courage to do whatever I can to make things better.
We hold that hope for you.
Patience and acceptance.
We hold that hope for you.
Some closure for all of us to move forward in love.
We hold that hope for you. Hope is a gift, and for all the hopes and gifts spoken aloud today, and those held silently in your hands and your prayers, you have a gift in your hands now. You have a piece of paper with you? Put this somewhere so you'll encounter it a few times this week. And when you do, imagine that unknown person and their struggle, and send them the gift of your love and your kindness. Keep holding that hope for them all week long. And if for any reason you don't feel that you're up to holding hope for someone else for a week and need some help, at the end of the service, when you meet us at the door, you can pass your hope on to one of us and we'll hold it for you. So let us move forward with our lives and our hearts interconnected in life-giving ways, grateful for this community of vulnerability, trust, and hope.
Will the ushers please come forward? This morning, as we have offered you stories and ways of holding hope in your hearts, remember that this church community relies on our gifts as well and offers hope to the larger community for people to come in these doors and feel safe and welcome. Your contributions keep those doors open. The offering will now be gratefully received. If you are a guest among us this morning, there's a gift in the basket for you. Our closing hymn is There Is More Love Somewhere, that is, will be led by Saunas Parsons.
And every man, woman, and child you may meet. Return not evil for evil, but strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. In all things, look beyond the letter to the Spirit, making your lives a living witness to your faith, and bring honor upon yourself and all creation by working for justice, that the whole world may know peace.